I think it's time to talk about the state of our nation and the state of the world. This is Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. It's Thursday. It's the 21st of April, 2022, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2022, symbolizing 2022 years after the incarnation of God in the form of Jesus Christ. This is the singular most important act in history after creation. Is the life, the birth, the life, and the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Happy Easter, by the way. We just passed up Easter. That was last Sunday. Look, a lot of people, myself included, are in angst about the condition of this country, the United States of America. And as we go, God help the rest of you, because that there goes the rest of the world. It's a mess. It's a mess in this country. I shudder when I think about the grooming that's going on openly and publicly supported by the President of the United States and our academic institutions, our public schools, our Congress critters, our courts, and we seem absolutely powerless to do anything about it. And this to me, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. Why do we live in a country where we have no control over how our children are raised? Why is that? How come every congressman in Congress isn't having a fit on both sides of the aisle? And they all got their excuses. I know they all got their excuses. The United States is being invaded. Millions. I think it's 2 million since the administration turned over. And no, not a squeak, not a squeal, nothing. You got a couple token people out there saying this, saying that, the other thing. Nothing's going on. I understand there's a governor's conference. They're going to try to address the issues at the border. But between the Disneys and the LGBTQs and they're teaching people to hate white people in schools, don't think it's anything other than that. It's the teaching of, it's indoctrinating children to hate white people and indoctrinating white kids to hate themselves. It's evil. And we seem powerless to do anything about it. And this gets me, it gets all of us. What is it? What's it going to take? We've seen for the last generation or two that our votes don't count. Our votes no longer count in America. As long as we vote the right way, they're fine with it. If we vote the wrong way, they steal the elections. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. They stole the election. They stole the 2020 election. And this whole idea of we're going to federalize the election, that's the end. That's the end of everything right there. That's the end of everything. If you don't have local control of the elections, who do you think, who's going to watch it? And now we got the, you know, the computer voting thing, and it's been proven that you can hack into these things and that it is open to the internet. They've lied and lied and lied and lied. And then you got a president of the United States by executive order being the dictator up there. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Get a jab. Don't get a jab. If you don't get a jab, you're going to get fired. Can't get hired. Kicked out of schools. We live in a tyranny. We live in a dictatorship. Let's face it. We live in a dictatorship. And I don't care how brain dead the guy is that lives in a White House. He's surrounded by parties, both sides of the aisle, and institutional powers that protect it and advance it. And we, the people, have no say. We've got no say. And they're flooding this country with non-Americans, with foreigners, and they're going to turn around and figure out how to make, you know, 20 million new voters tomorrow. This is worse than a coup. And what do we do about it? I don't have the answer to that. I have part of the answer. Part of the answer is every single American needs to open up their mouth and stop being afraid. That's part of the answer. Because if you don't have any moral courage, you don't have any other kind of courage. If there's no moral courage, there's no courage for anything else. And I guess that's where you start. Number two, that's number one. Number two, I'm telling you, the churches have to wake up. The churches have to wake up. And let there be a division. I mean, you got a large majority, well, not a majority, but you've got a large number of churches in America that have completely sided with the left. And I go around here in Washington, D.C., and I see all these homosexual churches. They got the rainbow flag flying in front of their church. Part of it is they're terrified. They're terrified not to support it because they're going to get their windows busted, and who knows? So they got the BLM flag flying, and they got the homosexual flag flying. Now, that's either cowardice or completely sold out to the devil himself, supporting LGBTQ. And then you've got a very great number, a broad swath of churches in the middle that are just trying to keep their heads down and stay out of it. They want to be the gray man. And I've talked about this, and I've said the age of the gray man is over. The age of the gray churches is over. You think you're fine because you can do a church service on a Sunday morning between 10 and 11:30 a.m. Bang on the drums. Woman's up there singing. Preacher goes and does his preaching on, you know, 6 steps to a better prayer life. You know, 4 steps to overcome sin in your life. You know, the ABCs of the rapture. Oh, we're doing a new series this month on the Revelation. Meanwhile, the culture goes to hell and has been for my lifetime. I grew up in a completely different era. I'm old now. I remember it. I grew up in an era when nobody even questioned the fact that homosexuality was sick. Not even questioned. Wasn't even questioned. It just, that you didn't even have to have a conversation about that. And my God, how it's changed. Where are the churches in this? Oh, God loves the sinner. God loves the sinner. Well, I don't know. How's that theology working out for you? And I've talked about this too. Talked about the necessity to not really change, not to change the theology of the Bible, but certainly to address the corruption in the theology of the churches, including the evangelical churches. It's been a while since I've been to a church service. I will admit that. But I've been going to church services for 60 years, guys. I've been to a lot of church services. And most church services and most sermons tend to be rather spiritually minded. Pastors are afraid to get into politics because they're going to offend somebody. And that, I guess that's what goes to the heart of it. It's the theology of being inoffensive, and it's infected the church. It's a theology of not offending people, because there are scriptures that say, don't offend anybody. There are scriptures that say that. But, and as I've explained before, you have to frame that within the context of the entire body of scripture. And you got to go look at the master. And the master was offensive. The master offended people. And even the disciples pointed out, he says, Jesus, don't you know you're offending them? As if it was a great sin. Jesus didn't care. He says, they're blind guides of the blind. And they're going to fall into a pit, and anybody that follows them will fall into a pit. But we've elevated this up there, not out of courage, not out of integrity, not out of strength, but out of cowardice. I'll just say it, out of cowardice. Same thing with Romans 13. Oh, we can't disobey the government because we're supposed to submit to the authorities. Really? Is that right? Well, I guess you better kick Moses out of your church then. All right? I guess you better kick David out of your church. I guess you better kick Peter out of the church and excommunicate him because he certainly defied the authorities. So did Jesus Christ. So did Moses. So did David. So did Stephen. So did all the martyrs of the early church when they said, we're not burning any incense to Caesar. Oh, heck no. Guess you're going to have to kick Daniel out of your church. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You need to excommunicate them. Fire them as being deacons. They can't be deacons anymore because they defied legitimate authority. And you just go, church, why do you dance around your one little scripture? And you ignore the entire body of the Holy Scriptures. And the only thing I can come up with is people are afraid. And if you're afraid, you're cowed. And if you're cowed, you're a coward. And I'm not trying to be personal. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying we got to wake up to this. We got to recognize it for what it is. We have to understand really what's going on. It's so convenient to sit there and just say, well, I'm doing what I need to be doing. You know, the hardest thing in the world is to open up your mouth and speak. That's the hardest thing in the world. And so most of us go through our lives and we say polite things and inoffensive things and non-confrontational things, things that won't get us into trouble. And our society goes to hell. As a result, our society goes straight to hell. And nobody is willing to have difficult conversations. I take that back. There's a growing number of us willing to have difficult conversations. But it's not enough yet. It's just not enough yet. If you're into football, and I've never played football, I don't know a quarterback from a third back, or a halfback, or a fullback, or a whatever these guys are. But it's fun to watch. At least it used to be. It did before it went woke. Now I won't watch it. I just I'm done with that stuff. But there's something called momentum. The big mo. And when you got it, man. And it becomes a force in and of itself above and beyond the various players. And we need to get some momentum going. And I want to hear a great cry from the church, a great cry from the church saying it's enough, we're done. And you're going to have to get rowdy. You're going to have to get obnoxious. You already know what happens when you open your mouth. You get bullied. You get harassed. You get pushed out of the workplace. You get pushed out of the cops show up and escort you out of parent-teacher association meetings. You go on an FBI wanted list. Sorry, you're going to have to face up to that. And if you're too afraid to deal with that, well, that's why the country's in the situation that we're in. They've got the big mo right now. They've got the mo. They've got the momentum, and they're steamrolling everybody, whether it's legal or not. They do things that are illegal every single day, that are not only immoral but illegal. What you want examples? How about the fact that the mask mandate was illegal according to a federal judge? They knew that. They did it anyway. You talk about an overreach of authority. If the CDC can mandate that every American wear a mask 24/7, 365, no matter where they are in public, we live in a dictatorship. We live in a dictatorship. Who's the CDC? Who are they to say? Oh, you got to follow science. You got to obey the scientists. I have to obey the scientists, really. So there's a great waking up. I hope there's a great waking up. It was heartening to see the Australians getting rowdy. The weird thing is, you know, over here in America, literally BLM can burn down cities. All right? So in a way, who was that Marine Corps general who said, we're in a perfect position. We're surrounded. And that means we can attack in any direction. We have them right where we want them. This is a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity for the church. Now, the other thing I'll say is this. What would you do if the government went away tomorrow? And how would you live your lives? What would you do differently? I think that's something that we really have to think about. For you, Pastor, what would you do differently if the government went away tomorrow? There was no ATMs. There's no gas. There's no resupply for your food store. There's anarchy in the streets. When there's anarchy in the streets, the police aren't coming to help you. I hope you guys have realized that now. I hope you guys have realized that. Nobody's coming to help you. The police officers are taking care of themselves, number one, each other, number two, their families, number three, and whoever pays them is number four. And you're somewhere way below that. You and I are way below that. And that's not, I'm not saying anything bad about the police. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. And, you know, I'm not any different. I mean, if it comes right down to it, I'm no good for anybody if I'm dead, especially to my family. And so if you're asking me to go out and help somebody that I don't know that lives on the other side of the city, when, you know, I got to keep myself alive and my family alive and my fellow officers alive, I got it. So this is no disrespect to anybody. But we need to open up our minds and realize it. What happens if the world changes suddenly, like in a heartbeat, and you're left on your own? Crying about it isn't going to help you. Wishing it away isn't going to help you. Getting a change of governments is not going to help you. You want a scriptural backup for what I have to say? I'll give you a couple. One is Revelation, 19? I think it says it three times in one chapter, in 1 hour, in 1 hour, in 1 hour. All this is going away. And all the great men, the great men of the earth, and in my mind, that's the Bezoses and the Gates and these the billionaires, these multi-billionaires that have got so much money they couldn't spend their money in 10 lifetimes. 1 hour, it all goes away. You want another one? Here's another one. Go look at the book of Daniel. And you remember the handwriting on the wall? Handwriting on the wall. And all of a sudden, boom, that night, there's a change in government. You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And in that moment, there was a change. Daniel was able to interpret the writing on the wall. And indeed, there was a change between the Medes and the Persians on who ran the place. And then, of course, you can go back in history and see. The truth of the matter is the United States is in no way, shape, or form immune from history. And we act as if we are. We pretend we're immune from history. What are you going to do differently if you have a chance to remake the world? What would that look like? And I'd suggest drawing a circle around yourself, then your family, then the people you associate with, whether it's in a church or not. Some I've been around churches a lot, all right, in positions of leadership, in the pulpit, the whole nine yards. It's a difficult beast, and I have an enormous, unlimited compassion for pastors out there that are trying to do the right thing and trying to do God's good work. Because if you are, it's tough. And I'm not talking about these mega churches. That's a beast I've got no experience with at all. But it's hard, and there's sometimes you get into, you just look at the weirdness that goes on, and it's crazy. It's truly crazy. So if you're going to change, just draw a circle around yourself, then your immediate family. You're the priest and prophet of your family, whether or not you're a Christian. You're the head of your household. You're the high priest and prophet of your family, and you're the guide, the provider, and the guardian for your family, for your wife and your children. It's on you. And it really doesn't matter whether or not you signed up for it or not. It is on you. And as you go through life, you realize that. You're a young man and you're in love. Oh, she's so pretty. You give her anything she wants. You want something? You got it, honey. Then you grow up, you get a little older, you throw in 2, 3, 4 kids. And you're now you're forced to make some hard decisions. And not everybody's going to be happy. And you got to make hard decisions. God designed the family this way in order to create that character in us. He said, okay, Mr. Nice Guy, you're going to give your little sweetie pie anything she wants. Well, I called you to be the man and the head of the household. So I'm going to put some pressure on, so you're going to have to make some hard decisions. And so you say, I got to lay down the law. Here's the way it's going to be, because you can't make anybody happy. You can't make everybody happy. And it's probably the man, if you're doing it right, you're going to be the least happy. But maybe your family functions. Maybe there's order. Maybe you can keep together financially, economically, job-wise, psychologically. Parents, kids know exactly who's in charge. They figure it out. And there's always a struggle between the man and the woman. Always. It's just the way it is. Don't feel bad about it. It's just the way it is. Go back and read the story of Adam and Eve. I mean, even before the fall. Get this, guys. Even before the fall. Eve said, well, you're not the boss of me. And she's out there hanging out with Lucifer. You're not the boss of me. You don't tell me what to do. I make my own decisions. I'm a woman. So she said, instead of being by Adam's side helping him, which is what her job was, he's out there hanging out with Lucifer. And guess what? Guess who's there to clean up the mess? Well, the man gets caught up in it. He made the wrong decision, but Adam had an interesting choice. He could either disown his mate. I mean, this was a tough decision. Either utterly disown his mate or go down with her. And he said, I'm going to go down with you. I mean, this is not, you know, this is a brutal moment. He says, I'm not going to disown you. I'm going to go down with you. And then he's cursed for his lifetime too. So her actions had consequences for him and all the kids. All the way down to today. But Adam turns around, or God turns around and says to the woman, he says, listen, your desire is going to be to rule over him, but he's going to rule over you. That's just the way it is. And that's the way it is in life. Man, you got to be the head of your household. I'm not saying this because it should be this way. I'm not saying it because it should be this way. I'm saying it because it is this way. And you don't have to want it. You don't have to like it. It's just you will come down to a situation where you're going to have to make these decisions. It's as simple as that. And at the end of the day, it is on you. It is on you. Whether you want it to be or not, whether you agree to that or not, whether she agrees to it or not. And then there's the people that you surround yourself with, whether it's your neighbors or your church people. But even within a church, you've always got, you know, groups of people that self-select and say, well, I'm part of this group and I'm not part of that group. It's called normal. It's called the way God made it to be. People think the church is a commune, and it's not a commune. Church is not a commune. Oh, yeah, we love each other and we're all one in the Spirit, under one blood, one family of God. That's fine, but there's still divisions in the family of God, and that's by design. My house is not open 24/7, 365 to any member of the congregation that wants to come in and jump on a couch and spend a week there. It's not. Not supposed to be. When I was involved in a variety of churches, I had friends that were closer than others. That's just the way it is. That's not bad. It's just the way it is. Some people, I don't care how Christian they are, they're just different. It's like, I can't hang with that person. That's okay. Has nothing to do with the love of God or anything else. We're designed to be. Don't forget, when they got off the ark, God didn't say stick together and be one family. He didn't say that. He said spread out. Spread out across the earth and make different nations. But oh no, they're smarter than God. No, God, we can improve on your theology. So the oral tradition that we have here after they got off the ark is we're all one. We're all going to love each other. They came together. They had a large urban civilization, and they were working on the Tower of Babel. And God said, that's not what I called you to do. And so he divided up the nations, 70 nations, enforced the division by changing their languages so they couldn't even speak to one another. Oh, God wants unity. God wants unity. Really, why did he divide everybody at Babel then? And this is what I say. This is what I say. The church has got to have a more mature understanding of theology. They think they got it all figured. They're going to go and prove on God's theology. Oh, well, that's, you know, we should all be one. Really? That's not what God said after the flood. He said, spread out, fill the earth. And when they didn't, he enforced division based on bloodline, and he enforced it with changing the languages so they couldn't even speak to each other. And they said, we don't even want to be around each other anymore. And they went their own separate ways. And providentially, he prepared them to do that because he gave with them three master boat builders, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah, who could teach people the art of boat building. That's what happened. The 100 years that Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth spent building the boat, they took that to the new world, the post-flood world, and they were able to use that technology to spread out across the face of the earth. Fact. So it's okay that you don't get along with everybody. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to get along with your... I mean, imagine that. Imagine you got a family. Imagine you got a wife and kids. Sometimes it's hard enough just within the family to get along, let alone all these strangers. I got neighbors. I get along with them. But you know what? I got fences, too. All right? Sometimes good fences make good neighbors. Same way between nations. Here's the other thing that's wrong. This kind of theology has ceased to exist in the church, especially the evangelical church. And I've been part of churches. Oh, it's so good to have massive people come into this country because they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, you can always find a way to justify anything. You can always do that. But I never heard them say, you know what, we need a Christian nation. And that the first armed border guards were right there at the Garden of Eden. I've never heard anybody say that. The first armed border guards was the cherubim at the Garden of Eden, keeping Adam and Eve and anybody else out of the Garden of Eden and away from the Tree of Life. Eden had a border, had an armed border guard. Well, I just can't believe it. Well, that's what I say. We need a change in theology in the church. If you understand that Israel, ancient Israel, not this modern thing, it's got nothing to do with ancient Israel, but ancient Israel renamed Jacob and his 12 sons who made the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel that came out of Egypt. The model's right there. Ancient Israel was supposed to be a model for the nations. It was supposed to be a model for the rest of the nations of the earth. And God said, okay, come out of the land of Egypt, the land of Mizraim, which was the grandson of Noah. Noah, Ham, Egypt, like that. That's how it works. And I'm going to give you the land of Canaan, who was also a grandson of Noah. Noah, Ham, Canaan. I'm going to give this land to you, and I'm going to give you borders. And he gave them the land and gave them borders. He gave the land to the Hebrews. Yes, other people were there. Didn't impress God. Didn't impress him in the least. I don't care. He says, this land is yours now, tribes of Israel. And not only was that land theirs, but then he divided that land up between the tribes. Where is that theology in the evangelical church? It's gone. It's utterly gone. Why? It's a major part of the Bible. Another aspect of theology that seems to have ceased to exist within the evangelical church is the theology of the Ten Commandments. When's the last time you heard a sermon on the Ten Commandments? Ten Commandments were the moral and legal guide given to an entire nation. It's not given to people individually. Come on up and sign a Ten Commandments pledge, and this is your pledge between you and God that you're going to try to obey the Ten Commandments. That's not the way it was. Moses come down from the mount. He was the head of his nation. He came down as the head of his nation. He comes down from the mountain. with the Ten Commandments from God and said, listen, here's the deal. You want God's protection? You want to be his people? Here's the terms. This is the terms. As a nation, as a people, this is going to be our law. This is our constitution. It was essentially their constitution. And everything beyond that were details to support that constitution. And you read the Ten Commandments now, and it's like, why would anybody have an issue with this? You get Sunday off. Yeah, you got to stay with your own woman. Not supposed to murder anybody. How hard is that? Don't take what doesn't belong to you. Don't make social policy based on wanting what other people have that doesn't belong to you. Tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet. It's not complicated. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Refers to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is monarch. Don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. That's the name of Jesus Christ. Don't be calling yourselves a Christian if you're not. Don't contaminate yourself. That's for your sake. That's for your benefit. That's for your benefit. It's not going to do you any good at the judgment day when you show up and say, I claim to be a Christian all my life, but I never really believed. So the Ten Commandments were given to an entire nation. And that nation, that bloodline, a nation is a bloodline. Again, how come that theology is lost in the evangelical church? The nation's a bloodline. Tell me why you don't think it's a bloodline. Genesis chapter 10. We're going to do that this Sunday. God willing. Genesis chapter 10. We'll do it live, 10:30 in the morning, Sunday, Eastern time. The nations are based on blood. Tell me that I'm lying. Give me one scripture that says I'm wrong. Oh, we're all, there's neither Jew nor Greek nor Gentile. And you come up with these things that in that instance are true, yet you're missing the entire context from Genesis through the Revelation. Even after that, God says, I'm going to judge the nations, not just individuals. I'm going to judge entire nations. Even in his life, he says, Capernaum, corporate punishment, baby, corporate punishment. Now, how does that work? How is it just? I ain't the judge. Thank God I'm not the judge. I'd be a bad judge. All this is lost. This has gone out of the church. Where's your theology, evangelicals? You know, 14 steps to have a better prayer life. How many times have you heard that sermon? It just goes on and on and on. Six ways you can sin less. And in the meantime, over the generations, the country's going to hell. Even Christian families, over the generations, the country goes to hell. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, that's one definition of insanity. And that's where we're at. We're going to have to renew our theology in the Word of God. If the nation obeys the Ten Commandments, and that's the heart, that's their covenant with God, you get the blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Dozens, verses, 15 verses. You're going to be blessed as a nation. As a nation. You're going to be the head and not the tail, above and not below. Your enemies will see you and flee six ways. But if you don't, you're going to be a slave. And all, everything that you produce will be gobbled up by others. And your children will be captured and destroyed. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You want to know why I can predict the destruction of America if we don't serve Jesus Christ? Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's right there. It has been said, I wasn't there, but it has been said that when George Washington swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, he opened the Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you've never read it, you need to read it. How come I've never heard a sermon in a church other than what I've preached on Deuteronomy chapter 28. All the prophets prophesied in terms of Deuteronomy 28. When they came out and they preached, woe, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, they preached it in terms of the covenant. What's the covenant? The Ten Commandments. The consequences of disobedience are in Deuteronomy 28. that theology doesn't exist in the church anymore. I don't know what to say. Try to do my part to bring it back. That's why I'm doing this podcast today. The Ten Commandments are for an entire nation. So we're going to obey God. We're going to covenant ourselves together with God. And this will be the foundation for our society. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that every person is always going to obey the Ten Commandments all the time. It wasn't true 2,500, 3,000 years ago either. It wasn't true after the Hebrews came out of Egypt either. That's not what happened. There's all kinds of people doing bad things. But there's a difference between fallen people doing fallen things as a nation forsaking the living God. It's a different order of magnitude. And the church doesn't seem to have the ability anymore to think in these terms. I got it. We're all sinful men. I mean, why do you think they had animal sacrifices back then? It was to atone for the sin. Of course there's sin. It was to atone for sin. But it didn't mean, oh, you know, just you sacrifice an animal and you can forget about the Ten Commandments. It remained the foundation. It remained their constitution. And if a nation obeys the Ten Commandments, as a nation, they're protected and blessed. And that nation of the sons of Israel was supposed to be an example and testimony to the rest of the nations of the earth. And so they could go up to Israel and say, how do you do this? Teach us how you're doing this. So that the rest of the nations could indeed follow the Ten Commandments and serve God and be different from Israel. Different land, different language, different culture, different ways of understanding life and relating to each other, but still with the broad foundation of the Ten Commandments. And I've talked a lot about what happened there. They went sideways. They got all sideways. And the Almighty says, listen, I'm going to take the vineyard away from you. I'm going to give it to somebody else that's going to produce the fruits thereof. And we are obligated as a Christian people to be a light to the world. And I don't just mean, you know, little Joey and Susie out there having a big fat smile on their face and telling people how much they love them and giving them a big bear hug when they come into church. That ain't it, baby. That ain't it. Not putting you down for doing that. That's fine. But how about building Christian nations? So other nations can come along and say, you know what? You got it going on. What do I need to do? Instead, we export evil. We export evil. The United States exports evil. LGBTQ, evil. Fundamentally evil. Abortion, evil. Homosexuality, evil. Debt, evil. So we need a theology that captures all this. It's right there. I'm not inventing anything new. Nothing. This is not new theology. It's been there. It's the Word of God's always been there. All the prophets prophesied in terms of Deuteronomy 28. Go read Daniel. Go read Daniel. I think it's Daniel chapter 9. I can't remember, but it's his high prayer. It says high prayer to God. It says, Lord, we have sinned, and you've done exactly what you said you would do if we sinned as a nation. It's our fault, he said. You said if we obey you, we'll be blessed. You said if we disobey you, we'll be cursed. It says, he says, all that has befallen us has been exactly as you spoke to us out of your word, what would happen, based on the covenant, Deuteronomy 28. It's not rocket science. Daniel's one of the greatest books out there. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. Where's this theology in the church? Needs to be resurrected. Go read the Mayflower Compact from 1600s. They covenanted themselves together as a Christian people, as a Christian nation. And I've talked about that before. We need distinctly Christian nations. Now, Babel has been a project of Satan since they got off the boat. And he yearns to take mankind, bring them all together under one, and he has domination over mankind. And there is no Christian expression. None. Zero. Zip. And we see that in evidence in the world today. Oh, you know, we can, you know, we have freedom of speech in America. No, you don't. You only have freedom of speech because you're not saying anything that, that gets the Antichrist upset. It's the only reason you have freedom of speech, because you think you could talk about having a better prayer life. Is they don't care about that. They don't care about that. Go after the LGBTQ agenda, and oh, you, let's see how much hatred they come out at you with. Well, I believe it's just our job just to love the sinner. Well, that's there you go. There you go. And that's why our countries, Canada, United States, Australia, New Zealand, Western Europe, are in the condition that we're in. Because of exactly that attitude. What are you going to do when it all falls apart? I mean, the worst thing that can happen, and I've had this conversation with people for years now, the worst thing that can happen is that nothing happens. And we just continue this rapidly accelerating, not even a drift, it's like being caught up in a vortex of evil. This is child abuse. They're teaching child abuse at our public schools in the United States and teaching people to hate the white race. I don't know how much farther down you can go. And there is other darknesses out there, and you can see it. It's all out there. But the church is going to have to reimagine itself according to the Holy Scriptures. Not according to new ideas, but according to the ideas that have been there for thousands of years. Christian nations. How are you going to rebuild? How about being self-sufficient? I mean, even within that small geography of Israel, it was divided up by tribes. They ought to have been self-sufficient in and of themselves by tribe. Doesn't mean they can't have trade. But wherever you live, you need to be producing your own food. Food and clean water. And guess what? When you do, now you own it. You own that. And not be dependent on anybody else out there. Well, we can't do that. Well, how are you going to eat if you can't? All right. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com.